Blog Talk Radio.
Gospel recording artist Cherie Monique Whitfield, Aberdeen, Mississippi. She's our very own, and we're proud of our dear sister in Christ. You may purchase her CD via iTunes or CDBaby.com. Again, that is Cherie Monique Whitfield, and we are so grateful to God that she has allowed Ministering God's Way Fivefold to use her music, and to God be the glory. Good afternoon and welcome to Blog Talk Radio and welcome to Ministering God's Way. I am your host, Evangelist Maria Triplett, joining you live from Starkville, Mississippi. Ministering God's Way Fivefold is brought to you by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to save, heal, deliver, and set the captives free. Today's topic is Go Back to the Altar. Go Back to the Altar. Our scripture is coming out of the 43rd book of Psalms, or division of Psalms. That's the 43rd Psalm, and we're going to read it in its entirety. That's verses 1 through 5. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go into the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. O heaven gracious Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus, asking you to go with us, Father God, and stand by us right now. Give us understanding of your word, Father, as we break the bread of life today. Father God, we ask that you will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us go back, Father God, to the altar. Let us go back, Father, down on our knees and stay there till we get that Holy Ghost power. Let us go back to the cross where we first believed, Father God, in the name of Jesus, so that, Father God, we may be able to do what your word says do, is to, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they would hear from heaven and I would heal their land in the name of Jesus. Father God, let us go back down on our knees to the altar. Let us receive the word, Father God. Let it fall on good ground today and let it, Father, manifest each and every day of our life that a praying spirit will come upon us, Father God, and the listeners, that your praying spirit will come upon America in the mighty name of Jesus. We say thank you, Lord. Praise be to God. We're so honored that last Saturday we had author Deron Short, the author of Perfecting the Saints. He's out of Seaford, Delaware, and he has a book that stems from the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and the 11th through the 15th verse. And let's go there quickly before we go into our word subject, going back to the altar. That's Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and 11th through the 15th verse. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But 15th, the final verse, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So here we find that the Lord tells us in his word that he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, into the knowledge of God, Son of God, and unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what are we talking about? What is Deron talking about? What is the fivefold ministry? This is a fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. That's the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ. And these are gifts to the body of Christ that's going to perfect the saints, that's going to work the ministry, and that's going to edify the body of Christ. We are all ministers in the body of Christ, and we serve in different capacities. But these particular offices are known as what we refer to as the fivefold ministry. And perfecting the saints, meaning Deron had brought out, if you weren't on the show tuning in last Saturday, he brought out perfecting the saints. You may be saved. You may be sanctified. You may be Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized, but your finances are out of order. Okay, maybe you have your finances in order, but you have, he says, a nasty attitude. So we want to grow up in Christ Jesus. We desire the sincere milk of God, the Bible tells us, But we're no longer babes in Christ. We grow up. We're not on the bottle. We're not drinking milk, just milk. We're on meat, God said, and we're meat for the master's use. And we come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, coming out of the world and being separate. So this is what ministering God's way fivefold is all about. We have apostles that come on the show. We have prophets come on the show, evangelists, and pastors and teachers to perfect the saints. Amen. So that's what we're referring to, and that was last Saturday. So now we're going to begin this series on actually perfecting the saints. And the first way we're going to do it is today is we're going to go back to the altar, back down on our knees, because that's when you first believe. You humbled yourself. You went down before God on your knees, and you cried out to him, and you said, Father, no other help I know. If I withdraw myself from thee, where will I go? So we first must have to humble ourselves and go to the altar. And what is an altar? An altar is a sacred place where we go to connect with God. And it's a special place that you have chosen to help, chosen to withdraw from the busyness of life. It can be a small place. It can be an entire room. But it helps you connect to God. And so it's a place where you can go to concentrate and you can you and God can exchange spirits. He can richly dwell in you, and you can go before him and ask him privately to dwell within you. And you can have that exchange and that communication with the Father. Amen. So God wants us to go back to the altar. We see now in the world there's so much chaos, so much sin, and so much turmoil. When we turn on the news, we see just a great disaster. And every day we see police getting beat down. We just saw yesterday where a police officer in Birmingham, Alabama, had pulled over a young man. And while the police officer called for backup, the young man came and beat the pistol whip the police officer. This is a time where we're going to see Prophet Brian Carn was here in Mississippi, in Jackson, Mississippi, last week, and he stated we would see police officers just brutally slain in the street. And he also said that America did not repent, the judgment is pending. Judgment on this country is pending. That's what the prophet said. This is what we're talking about. Some pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So the prophet that God has given this nation, Prophet Brian Carn, who's one of those prophets, he has already spoken the word that it is time for America to repent or else the judgment will come quickly. And we're living in a time, he says, where next month, September, is going to be a month of we're going to see judgment. We're going to see great, great grace, but we're going to also see judgment. So it's time to go back to the altar. We have a chance. While God has given us this day and he's given us another opportunity to get it right, he gives us the breath of life today. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. We don't want to have sickness or disease that come on our life or some type of crisis before we get and go down on our knees to pray. I notice now traveling with my husband to church, we go to different churches and he ministers, preaches the word of God. And I know of one church that when I go, before the service, that even the children are on their knees in the house of God actually praying. The children are on their knees praying, and the adults. And it's one church that I have noticed in all the churches that we attend. Everybody, it seems like we have gotten lackadaisical and have a slothful spirit and say, well, you know, I can just pray. I can pray in my car. Yes, you can pray in your car. Yes, you can go in your bathroom. You can pray in your shower. But we, Bible, he told us in 2 Chronicles that we must humble ourselves. That shows a sign of reverence where we bow down, not only in the natural, but we're bowing, we bow down not only in the spiritual realm, but we bow down in the natural realm. Even if you, some people say, well, I have bad knees. Well, humble yourself. If you, your knees are so bad that you just cannot go down, God knows. But this is for people that have good knees, and we can humble ourselves and stay down, at least, and pray with God. The disciples could not even pray with Jesus for 1 hour. He said, he told them, you couldn't even watch 1 hour. So a lot of times we get on our knees and we say, yeah, before we go to bed, yeah, Lord, thank you. You know, cover me. I lay myself down to sleep. We have this repetitive prayer, but it's no personal communication with the Lord. Our prayer life should not be the same words every day. It should not come from a book. It should not come from a devotional, God. It should come from our heart. And where we speak directly to the Lord, what's in us that we, because every day is a new day, and it brings not only new mercies, but new trials and new tribulations. And we can take those boldly before the throne of grace so we can obtain mercy in the time of need. And we know God, Jesus, is a very present help in the time of trouble. So when we show reverence to the Lord, we humble ourselves and we go down on our knees. We're letting him know we bow down, Lord. He said in his word, every knee shall bow. If we don't bow now, he said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So we will at some point bow down. Don't make it happen when God forces it upon us. Let it be have a willing mind. He said, you know, whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. He doesn't want to force us. He doesn't want to browbeat the Bible on us. He wants this to be a willingness. He said there first must be a willing mind. And if we go back to the altar, then we can pray to God. We can repent of our sins. And what's repent? Making a change. Saying we're heartfully sorry for what we have done and our sins, because the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we must repent of our sins. And we ask God to, when we repent, we make a change. We say where we ask for forgiveness, but we make a change. And a change should be evident in our life. We should see that change. We should not be doing the same thing. This is housekeeping we're talking about, spiritual housekeeping. And, you know, by the Lord tells us, come out from the unclean thing. He said, touch not the unclean thing. So uncleanliness is a spirit. It's ungodly. And he wants us to be natural housekeepers and keep our homes, but he wants us to be spiritual housekeepers. Because this is our bodies is the temple in which the Holy Ghost dwells. And so this is our spiritual house, and we want to keep it clean, and we want to keep it pure. And so what we do is that's when we go down on our knees, and we go and ask in prayer and ask God to come in and cleanse us and heal us from all unrighteousness and deliver us. And then we can worship. When we create or build an altar for ourselves, someone may say, well, you know, I've had 5 children in the house, a husband, and I'm taking care of my grandmother, and I don't have, you know, any extra space in my home to make an altar for me to get away from the busyness of life. Well, that altar may be in your bathroom. That altar may just very well be in that bathroom. If that altar is that place where you can just go and you can lock the door, nobody knows, but it's a place where you can go to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. So he says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, this is what he was talking about in the 43rd chapter of Psalm. When the enemy comes in, then it seems as though this causes us to go back to the altar. Then will I go into the altar of God? Because now you have no choice. You cry, you need help. So this is what we want the church to know, we want the world to know. It's time to go back and to where we first believed, humble ourselves and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways. And seek him early. Seek him early. Seek him while he can be found. Because, you know, and he wants us to work while it is day. He said, because night cometh where no man can work. Jesus, we heard Sister Cherie Monique Whitfield sing the song, "People get ready for our Lord. My Lord is soon, is coming again." He said that we know the day, we don't know the day nor the hour. He said, but he's coming like a thief in the night. And will you be ready when he comes? We know Jesus said it's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And Jesus wants us to come unto him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said he'd give us rest for our soul. Rest. His anointing will remove every burden. It will destroy every yoke of bondage. He tells us in Psalm, the 103rd Psalm in the 3rd verse, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. So he is a healer, but he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what his word says. So if we want healing in our bodies, we want healing in our soul, we want a healing in our spirit, then we have to diligently seek God. There are so many prayer lines right now in America, and there are so many that we can call. If you don't have a friend or someone that you can pray, a partner that you can pray with, ask God to teach you how to pray. And he will teach us anything we ask him, the Father, in his name, Jesus. And then we can find a place of rest in him. And there are prayer lines that we can go and we can call and we can have prayer with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can commune together, because Jesus said in his word, one could put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 demons to flight. So you see, there's strength, and not only strength in unity, but there's power in unity. So your prayer can put 1,000 demons to flight. Why not join up with others and you can put all these demons to flight? So many. You know how many demons are out there? We have to be able to recognize in the spirit realm when a spirit is not of God, a discerning of spirits. And that's what the prophet Brian Karn was telling us, that we need to pray for discerning of spirits, so that we can discern good from evil. And that we can, when the devil comes into the house of God, we ought to be able to recognize it. We ought to be able to see the devil in the spirit realm. We ought to be full of the Holy Ghost and with power, that we can begin to pray, and not only pray, but cast those demons out. And this conference that was in Jackson, Mississippi, the visitation, truly was a visitation from God. God visited this state, and he visited the city of Jackson, Mississippi. And the mayor, Yarber, of Jackson, Mississippi, Prophet Brian Karn had prophesied to him one time he was in an audience that he would become the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. And he is now the mayor Tony, Mayor Tony Yarbrough of Jackson, Mississippi. And it was an awesome demonstration of the power of God last week here in Jackson, Mississippi. And the word of God tells us that his word is confirmed. Jesus' word is confirmed through miracles, signs, and wonders. And if you're in a church that does not have miracles, signs, and wonders, you're in a dead church, and the glory of God is not resting there. And he mentioned that the attack is going to come on those churches that do not have the glory of God. And so we don't want to get caught up into tradition of men and miss our heaven, miss our souls from going to be eternally with Jesus Christ. We don't want to miss out because of the tradition of man, because our grandmothers or our grandfathers went to this church. We don't want to go to hell when we have a choice. And he tells us, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve, life, death, blessing or cursing. And he gives us these apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect the saints, to work the ministry, to edify the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith. And the unity of the faith, we know it's one Lord. His name is Jesus. It's one faith. And it's one baptism. And that's the baptism in the name of Jesus. And there's no denominations in Jesus Christ. There's no Presbyterian. There's no Baptist. There's only the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that doctrine can be found in the book of Acts. You can go into the second chapter of the book of Acts in the 38th verse, and it talks about being baptized in the name of Jesus. Then in the Acts of 4 and the 19th chapter, talks about the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which the apostles continued steadfastly in the doctrine of the apostolic doctrine. That's the doctrine that of Christ. It's not about a denomination. The Bible doesn't refer to a denomination. It refers to that the apostles continue steadfastly in the apostolic doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. And that's why it's called the book of Acts. And these are the Acts of the apostles. And so we know Paul, he was first Saul, and he was a murderer. And then God allowed him to become an apostle of Jesus Christ, of him. So that goes to show you that Jesus can use anybody. If we repent, if we humble ourselves, some of the best sinners make the best saints, because you know what it's like to be in the world. But then you know grace and you know real mercy when you come before God and you ask him and you cry out to him, you humble yourself, say, Lord, here I am. Search my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit, that I may not sin against you. Teach me your way, Lord Jesus, and teach me your will, that I might, Father, walk worthy in the vocation wherewith I've been called. So remember to go back to the altar. Go back to when you first believed. You humbled yourself. Rebuke that slothful spirit off of your life. And rebuke that lazy spirit off your life. We're going to talk about prayer next Saturday. Pray America is the subject, a topic next Saturday. We now, as we humble ourselves in the spirit, now it's time to talk what we're going to do at the altar. We're going to pray. And then we're going to talk about that next Saturday. Pray America, because it's time to pray. As the Lord say, pray without ceasing. But remember, seek him early. Get up early in the morning. Seek him from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. Go down when the witches and the warlocks are out and busy in the spiritual realm. You go into the spiritual, when they're in that spiritual realm, you go into that spiritual realm. You go into that upper room. Create your upper room. Create your prayer room, your upper room, where you can be in tune with the Holy Father. Amen. We'll see you next Saturday. God bless you.